I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Word of God for your instruction in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 30. Then Moses spake in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Now this morning we consider two attributes of the being and character of God. God is a God of patience and comfort. And this evening we just continue in that theme and we consider the God of truth, the God of truth. Moses was a man with a vast knowledge of life. At one stage of his life, he was one of the richest men in the whole world, living in the palace of Pharaoh, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. For 40 years in his life, he enjoyed the riches of the world. He enjoyed the academic privileges, the material privileges, riches that all of the world had to offer to him. But then, in the second 40 years of his life, Moses lived in the wilderness. And it was there that God really prepared Moses to be a great leader. And he then experienced a poorer standard of living, a tougher standard of living. Moses, though, had proved to God to be faithful in various walks of life. But particularly in the final part of his life, in his role as a godly leader of a nation. Now at the end of his life, Moses is preaching to the children of Israel. This is his final message. And this part of his message he composes as a song, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And here at the beginning of chapter 32, we have the very heart of Moses' assurance. And this is the heart of the assurance of Moses. And this is the heart of the assurance of the Lord's people. Whatever, wherever, whenever, God is true. God is truth. God is unchangeable, everlasting truth. He is the rock, his work is perfect, all his ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now Moses came to believe in this absolute truth about God by faith in God's word, by faith in God's revelation, by faith in his experience of God's dealings with him personally, and as the nation of Israel. And in his testimony, Moses was assured, he was convinced, he was committed, and we will see at the final part of our message this evening, he was Christ exalting. And everything was centered on the wonderful truth that God is a God of truth. The particular theme of his praise centers on God's attribute of truth. Truth, absolutely. both in his dealings and in his doctrine. First of all, then, Moses was assured. Verse 1, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Moses was so assured about what God had given him to say was what the world needed to hear. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak." All the world must hear. This was an expression being used here that the message must go throughout all the world. And here we have an example of supreme confidence in the Word of God. The preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, was once asked a question. I believe it was on the radio. He was being interviewed, and they asked him, "What is the greatest need in the world today? What is the greatest need to have a positive effect upon society?" And his answer was simply this: society, the world needs to hear the gospel. The gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes. He had this supreme confidence in the Word of God. And this was the secret behind his ministry and the effective ministry of Moses. The words here, "give ear," in the Hebrew language, are a solemn expression. They are calling us to attention, to a fact. Moses is going to make an extremely important and significant statement, a statement that all need to hear. And Moses believed the word of God was necessary and true for every tribe and nation. The word of God was truth, and it was necessary for every tribe and nation. It was suitable for all the world to hear. So confidence in the word of God, confidence in the word of God as God's word of truth from the God of truth, was the great characteristic of Moses' ministry. And we're reminded here this evening of how important this aspect of faith is, how essential it is to have this supreme confidence in the Bible as the Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. And what a great blessing is the Word of truth from the God of truth. I refer your attention this evening to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. And we have a remarkable verse there. I'll read from verse 1 actually. "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And he goes on to speak about the wonderful way of salvation, whereby both Jew and Gentile will come in that same way to salvation in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And the point being here in verse 4 is that the revelation of God comes through his truth. And as we read the word of God as truth, when you read it, when you read the word of God, God is revealing himself to you. God is revealing his truth to you. And we need this supreme confidence in the word of God as the word of truth. And we need to read it. And as we read it, we will not only have the revelation of God's truth to us, but also we'll have the revelation of God's glory. How do we know God's glory? Well, we know God's glory not only as we witness it in creation, as we witness it in conversion and in salvation, but we see God's glory in his word. And as we read God's truth, we come to a deeper understanding of the glory of God. God is revealing his glory to us through reading. And that's why it's so important for us to read the Word of God. We read the Word of God for the glory of God. We read the Word of God to know more of the glory of God. We read the Word of God that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God is essential to our spiritual well-being. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. In verse 2, he is not only assured, but he's convinced. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. Moses was convinced about this particular message he was given to the children of Israel. He was convinced and confident in the word of God. He was not ashamed because he believed in the God of truth. He was convinced, he had no doubt in his mind, that this was the message of the word of truth. Whether they would hear or whether they would forbear, this was the message. But there's a very important point to notice here with Moses, an aspect to his conviction about the word of God. And this is very searching, and this is what makes the God of truth and the word of truth absolutely unique in this world. The Bible, God's word, is the only book in the world and will only ever be the book in the world which is absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. It is God's word, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal God to us through his word, reveal the God of truth to us through his word. There is no other book in the world that depends upon the Holy Spirit in such a way. For Moses, the doctrine of God was not an intellectual, academic learning process. It was truth alive. Let my teaching drop as the rain. And those of you who are involved in the worthwhile study of the Word of God, this is something very good, it's something very worthwhile, it's something which will be a blessing. But always remember, it is learning with the Spirit of God. Let my teaching drop as the rain. I was, when I was in my own studies, I was told about a lecturer who was the foremost lecturer in the letter of Paul to the Romans. He actually had a brilliant mind, and he understood Greek very well, and he could exegete this letter straight from the Greek as probably as capably as any other person in his generation. But he was not a believer. It was simply an exercise. It was simply a doctrine. It had no life to it in his soul. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herbs, and as showers on the grass. Truth which spiritually watered the soul, truth which was a spiritual blessing to the souls of those who received it by faith. Yesterday morning, I noticed there two hanging baskets on the front door were looking a bit sorry for themselves. I got the watering can out with some plant feed and gave them a good water. Within half an hour, the pansies had sprung up again, and they were beginning to look strong again. It was quite dramatic, the effect, even in the winter. and doctrine applied by the Holy Spirit to a weary soul can have the same effect spiritually to you. And it's very important for us to be watered by the Word of God in times of trial and difficulty, that we might continue in these times to be a witness for the Lord. And Moses is convinced that the Word of God is the greatest means of spiritual blessing. He is so positive about the suitability and impact of the doctrine of God, the doctrine of truth, something which is refreshing and needful for us to grow spiritually. The unique Word of God, truth alive through the power of the Holy Spirit, the only word in the world that can have such a profound and eternal effect upon us. But then the third point we see is that Moses was committed. Verse 3, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God." Now, the "for I" of Moses here is not a stubborn mind over matter determination. It is rather the commitment of a godly man who is absolutely assured and convinced of his message. I think I've told you this before, but there was a famous minister in Scotland, Robert Murray McShane, and he was a man who was saturated in the Word of God, a man who was endued with the power of the Spirit in his ministry. And when he came out of the pulpit, when he came out of his vestry and into the pulpit, before he'd even said anything, people began to weep in the time of revival. Because they knew that this man was coming with a message from God, from God's word, from the God of truth, that this man who was speaking to them was absolutely convinced that the Word of God was the Word of truth, and it was sent forth, going to come forth with power to them. And here, towards the end of Moses' life, he has this committed desire. His objective remains the same: to speak well of the Lord, to bring glory and attention to his name, to ascribe greatness to God. Ascribe greatness unto our God, to praise him, exalt him, speak well of him, speak to bring attention to him. And there is a holy determination here. And the Lord's people, we need this holy determination in our lives to speak well of the Lord. If you look through the Psalms, you will see so many times the commitment to proclaim the name of the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will be glad in you. I will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will declare your name. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will extol you, O Lord. I will give thanks to you forever. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will remember the works of the Lord. I will walk in your truth. I will meditate in your precepts. I will delight myself in your commandments. Oh, there are many I wills, commitments of a believer, a holy determination to look to the God of truth, to proclaim the God of truth. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. And he's right at the end of his life. But then, fourthly, and finally this evening in our message, verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Christ exulting. I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. his work is perfect. And the message Moses was publishing here, proclaiming here, was evangelistic in nature. Moses is developing what he has already taught the children of Israel about God the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now he brings in the third person of the Trinity. He's speaking here about the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically, in terms of his work here upon earth, and of course his eternal being as the Son of God. His focus moves prophetically to the attributes and truth about Christ the Messiah, as it will be here upon earth. But he does this for encouragement. See, everything in verse 4 is true about the God-man, Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And when Peter was preaching at Jerusalem, he told his hearers of how Moses the prophet, who was the prophet the Jews revered, he spoke of Christ. And he warned them not to reject him. Brother Philip read in Acts chapter 3 this evening, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you." A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up. And Moses is speaking here about the God-man, Christ Jesus, a God of truth and without injustice. Our Lord himself confirmed that Moses wrote of him. He said to the Jews, "For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." And so the writing and preaching of Moses encourages us to see Christ in the Old Testament as well as the New. And I believe it is right to say that the evangelistic heart of verse 4 is found in the statement about the God of truth, who is revealed to us in Christ Jesus. This is Moses' prophetic call to have confidence in Christ. And all the statements about God around verse 4 serve to magnify and assure us of the God's truthfulness in Christ Jesus. And we'll see this now. He is the rock. Moses is speaking about Christ. He is the rock. Moses writes prophetically about Christ as the unchanging rock. He had embraced this truth by faith with spiritual understanding. When the rock that was smitten to bring forth water for the children of Israel in the wilderness, Moses saw that it was typical of Christ. He would be smitten of God. And from him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was smitten of God, would flow the waters of forgiveness and life. The Apostle Paul also had this spiritual understanding of Christ as the rock. And he spoke of the children of Israel, going right back to the day of Moses. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Now, as the God of truth, he is the rock. He is stability. He is the foundation. He is unchanging. He is the rock. And then secondly, he is the God of truth. His work is perfect. Here Moses refers to the completeness of Christ's work. Not only perfect in the sense that he is pure, but perfect in the sense of completeness. He looked forward by faith to the time when Christ's work of redemption would be complete. When Christ would cry from the cross, "It is finished." Perfected work of Christ upon the cross. And in this complete sense for our salvation, Moses sees by faith God's work as perfect. There is no other way of salvation. There is no beyond Christ for salvation. Salvation is accomplished perfectly in Christ and completely in Christ. His work His work of salvation is perfect. Not only did he fulfill the work of the law completely, perfectly, but he also completed the work of salvation perfectly and completely. His work is perfect as the God of truth. All his ways are judgment, are justice. All his ways are justice. His judgments are absolutely true and trustworthy. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right, we were reminded of this morning in the prayer meeting. Well, here we have it again. All his ways are justice. Moses spoke prophetically of the Messiah who would have perfect judgment in all ways. Christ is the judge. He's not only the Savior, but he's coming to judge the world. And he will have perfect judgment. There will be no errors of judgment. There will be no false convictions. There will be no deceitful redemptions. Everything will be perfect and in order and true and righteous, so that every knee shall bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim the name of the Lord. And they will, as we read of in Philippians, every knee shall bow and call him Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as the Good Shepherd, he guides his people through the various experiences of life. And as the God of truth in his wisdom, as the living Word of God, he is always absolutely true to his people. The Apostle John, in the very opening part of his gospel, speaks of his experience of the Lord Jesus. He lived with him for 3 years in ministry, and he dwelt with him. And he said this: the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And this was the aspect of the glory that John was taken up with, overwhelmed by, full of grace and truth. What a combination. What a combination. Grace and truth. A God of truth and without injustice. Grace and truth. Oh, dear friends, there can be no greater, really, attributes for a needy sinner than a God who is a God of grace and truth. A God who shows grace and yet remains true. True to his character, true to his law. And God can only do that through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. This is the only way that sinners can be saved, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that way, God's holiness is not compromised, his justice is satisfied, and his grace is glorified. As the God of truth, without iniquity, without injustice. And here Moses sees prophetically perfection of the incarnate God-man Christ Jesus, who himself would be the eternal atonement for sin, the perfect one. And this is again most remarkably recorded for us in Hebrews, where we read, "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens." This is our Jesus, without iniquity, without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. And Moses is writing about the perfect lifestyle of Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ, the one we can look to as our rock, unchanging in his righteous ways. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. without injustice, righteous and upright is he. So Moses understood then the real issues of life and eternity that were at stake in proclaiming Christ. This was a message the world needed to hear. And Moses had identified himself with the people of God with Christ in view. He had chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God. He had chosen to identify himself with the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Well, Moses proclaimed the name of the Lord. Moses knew God was the God of truth. And he boldly and unashamedly, even knowing the hardness of the hearts of the children of Israel, his knowledge of their rejection of God the Father, and his understanding of their future rejection of Christ, he knew all this, but it did not deter him from proclaiming Christ. And this is an encouragement for us this evening. To a large extent, our message will be rejected. To a large extent, we have to realize that because of the hardness of the hearts of the people, there is a almost wholesale rejection of God in the world today. But we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't stop. We should continue. We should be like Moses. I will proclaim the name of the Lord till the end of my life. The children of Israel had murmured against him on several occasions. They'd rejected God at Mount Sinai. They made a golden calf to worship. And Moses had interceded for them. At the outset, they'd refused to go forward into Canaan, trusting in the Lord. A whole generation had perished in the wilderness through unbelief. They'd complained about the manna sent down from heaven. Yet here is Moses. After all these trials, these difficulties with leading the children of Israel, he's still convinced that the one thing the children of Israel need to hear is that God is the rock. His ways are justice. His work is perfect. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And as they now enter Canaan land, this must be the truth to believe in and proclaim. And in a world hostile to the gospel, we must continue to proclaim Christ. Moses encourages us to further confidence in the gospel of Christ. Moses had seen amazing signs and wonders in Egypt. Moses had seen the Red Sea parted. Moses had seen every day manna in the wilderness. Moses had seen the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. Moses had seen God bring a water out of the rock. Moses had seen amazing signs and wonders. But at the end of his life, he directs the children of Israel, as they are about to enter Canaan land, to the word of God, the word of truth, and the God of truth. And that is the same for us today. The God of truth encourages us, inspires us to walk in the truth, to worship in truth, to talk in truth, to benefit from the truth found in his word, to focus upon the God of truth. And Moses, inspired by the Spirit, encourages faith in believers as they are directed to Christ as the God of truth, the God-man Christ Jesus, in whom we find truth absolutely, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, may Moses' doctrine of truth based upon the God of truth, looking to Christ, the manifestation of God's truth, distill as dew in our hearts today, giving us a fresh desire and a renewed commitment to proclaim the name of the Lord and speak well of him. Amen.